We pick up our Bibles this morning as we open the scriptures to John's Gospel in chapter 11. Very famous and wonderful passage of scripture, and probably you've heard it many, many times. And I hope and pray this morning that as we read that word, that the word of God becomes a real and alive to us. John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version, because that's the one I'm most familiar with and I understand more. John's Gospel, chapter 11, starting at the first verse. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary and comforted them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. When she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take the stone away. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. May indeed God bless unto us that portion from his holy word. And as we share in that word, may God help us and guide us and lead us into a closer walk and closer relationship with him. It's a miracle of grace that changes people from one who is an opponent or an enemy to one who is a friend. And this is what happens in the lives of people who come to know Christ as Savior. It happened spectacularly in the life of Paul, who was so against the church, against the gospel, that he would go into another country to take people and to bring them back for punishment. And yet on that road, he was changed dramatically. Sometimes this happens in people's lives, dramatically, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Other times it takes time, perhaps many years under the sound of the gospel preaching. And then all of a sudden, it happens. Here in reading this morning in chapter 11 of John's gospel in verse 27, we have these wonderful words from a woman who has been changed by the power of God. Sometimes we seem to pass over this woman, Martha. She was one who was perhaps on the sidelines, and yet she comes out with such a profound, faithful preaching gospel in herself. She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Quite a difference from the woman who earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And this is what happens then. Now, it happened when they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she and her sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me." There's a difference. Here's this woman. She has welcomed the Savior into her house. She's one of hospitality. She wants to give of her best. She's running here and she's running there. She's focused on making sure everything is okay. A sister doesn't care about that, but is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And our Lord is so loving and so caring. Listen to what he says to her: "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Martha, from one that was more concerned about home, food and hospitality, yes, and important things as they are, is now a changed Martha. A change has taken place that seems more important to her than food or hospitality or the home. And that is her spiritual life. How does the change in Martha affect our lives? Well, in a great way. It points to us that we are not to look at things of the world as much as important as they are. We are to concentrate on the things of God. We are to look after our eternal destiny and not just this, our life here in the physical. How does this change affect? Has there been a change in your life? Has there been a significant change that people can say, "Wow, there's a difference in that person now"? I was fortunate to attend a 100th anniversary some years ago of a dear friend who was a friend of mine. He was in the church where I was brought up. And he was a gentle giant. He was well over 6 foot. And at that 100th anniversary of his birth, a gentleman stood up and spoke. And he said, "I am a Christian. And I am a Christian because I saw Christ living in this man who was 100 years old. I worked with him. And I saw..." He didn't speak much. When an opportunity came, he spoke. But in the way he lived, the way he acted, Christ was living in him. And that man was 100, encouraged me when I was a young Christian. And not too long afterwards, before he got to his 101st, he went to glory. A change taking place in a person's life. It can be dramatic. It's got to be, though, deep down in the heart. And this is what's happened to Martha. As change has taken place. Have you seen the need of Jesus Christ in your life? Somewhere along the line, up to this point where Martha speaks to the Lord, something has happened dramatic in her life that has changed her. The incident in this reading brings Martha's change into the open. It starts off with her brother Lazarus becoming very ill. So much so that through that illness he dies. But before he dies, he's already sent a message to the Savior to come because he is ill. Why is it? It's because she and her sister had probably seen many miracles that the Lord had done. And had seen that how the blind had been able to see, the deaf hear, those that the lame been able to walk again, those were who had demons possessed in them, taken out of them. And they sent to the Savior for her brother's sake and for theirs too. That if he could have healed those people that they saw being healed, surely he'll heal my brother. The sisters knew that Jesus had healed many people who were ill and of all kinds of diseases. And so they sent the message to them. And they said, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. Sometimes we can be sick and ill, and we can get people praying for us. And we thank God for every prayer that saints pray for one another. Pray for one another. Keep praying for one another. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Pray. Keep praying. It is remarkable that Jesus doesn't go instantly as we would like, humanly speaking. If he really loved him, why doesn't he go? But Jesus gives us the answer there. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You see, Jesus knows all circumstances. He knows the future. He knows the situation there in that house with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And yet he delays. We would say, why didn't he go straight away? But he doesn't. He waits a few days. And then he says to his disciples, let's go. Because Lazarus is sleeping. Well, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better, isn't he? That's the normal, isn't it? When people are ill and they sleep a lot, they say, well, sleep, it helps. Of course it does. And they think naturally. But Jesus again comes out physically saying, he is not sleeping. He is dead. No two ways about it. See, people say that Jesus doesn't heal people. It's just that they're either in a little bit of a coma or they're in some sort of state that it seems as if they are dead or ill. They're not really. He didn't do those miracles. But this man proves who Jesus is. He is the living God. God veiled in human flesh. This man was dead. They wouldn't put a dead person into a tomb. There's no way that this person, Lazarus, wasn't dead. He's in the grave 4 days. You see, we notice here that Martha and Mary are so concerned for their brother that they sent for Jesus. And Jesus doesn't come straight away. And when he does come, Martha hears of it and she's up like a shot. Listen to what she says. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him, but Mary was sitting in the house. When Martha said to Jesus, then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What a challenge. She's challenging Jesus. She's saying, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Quite often we say that, don't we? When we're in a situation in our lives and there's something that is so hard and we say, why, God, don't you answer this? We've been praying to you for days, weeks, months about this situation, and nothing seems to be happening. We want things done instantly, don't we? We got our instant coffee, don't we? We get our coffee over in the jar, we put it in the coffee pot or into the cup, pour the water on, we got the instant coffee. We want things done instantly. But it's not with the Lord. The Lord answers every prayer, not according perhaps to what we want, but according to his plan and purposes. Martha's reaction is a challenge to Jesus. And look what Jesus says to her. Your brother
will rise again. Wow. Came here. That should have really shook Martha. But she's still thinking, like we all think, humanly speaking. She says, Martha says to him, Lord, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. No, says Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And what we must realize, and what we must come to realize and to accept, is that Jesus is a risen and a triumphant Savior. Yes, he did die on the cross at Calvary. Yes, he was put in the tomb. Yes, they did cover the entrance with a stone and seal it and put a squadron of soldiers around to guard it. But he rose victorious over death. We are serving, we are a living, triumphant Savior. He wants men and women to come to realize that this morning. And I ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection? Do you believe that after this scene of time, there is an eternity that we have to face? And will we face it with Jesus? Or will we face it in hell? I was going through some of my papers the other day, and I came across a bit of a note which said that the Pope didn't believe in hell. And as he was preaching, a lightning struck one of the churches in Rome. Doesn't believe in hell. Well, okay, go on, live as you like. But one day you will have to face Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, although you might not believe it at now. Jesus tells her, yes, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. And Jesus turns it around. He challenges Martha. Instead of Martha challenging him, he challenges her and he says, do you believe it? And that's a question that is asked today. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Are you putting your faith and trust in him? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? To know that everything in your life, whether you've done it in the past of thinking it, acting upon it, or speaking it, all the things, so often, we'd like to turn the clock back. I wish I hadn't said it. I wish I hadn't done it. I wish I hadn't thought it. But we can't turn the clock back. But what the gospel of Jesus Christ says, I can wipe up all those sins that you've ever committed by putting your faith and trust in me. Do you believe this? Oh, and here comes the crunch with Martha, isn't it? And I love this. See, sometimes we pass over Martha, don't we? But this is what the faith of this woman has. She says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That is what we'd call a wow situation. Have you had this wow situation in your life? Have you come to a situation where you say, yes, I believe? There was a man who came with his son, and he was mute, and he was in a terrible state. And Jesus said, what's the matter? How has he been like this? And he says to Jesus, help my unbelief. You know, sometimes we can come in a situation, I want to believe it, but help my unbelief. And I ask you this morning, have you come to that situation But you said, Lord, help my unbelief. The world says there is no such thing as eternal life. Once we die, that's it. It's all over. But I hear in your word that there is an eternity. And I ask you, Lord, to help me and to guide me into this. You know, the reaction of Martha, you know, saying that I know that I will, that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It seems to be that it's the old Martha speaking. And sometimes we are like that, aren't we? You know, the old flesh gets the one upers on us. But Martha has a faith that is strong and in true and is true. She shows to Jesus that a radical, fundamental, profound change has taken place in her heart and in her life. What a faith. I ask you this morning, do you have such a faith in Jesus Christ? We have faith in all sorts of things. We have faith that we will get up tomorrow morning and perhaps go to our work or perhaps do something. We have faith that we can get into our car, that we turn the key and our car will start. We have faith that we trust in other people, but they won't knock us down. They won't come onto the pavement with a car and kill us. We have faith. But what sort of faith do you have in Jesus? Are you allowing him to have the preeminence in your life? Martha is now convinced that Jesus can do anything, even a miracle that would bring her brother back to life. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. And she says, I know that whatever that you may ask of God, he will do it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And I am the truth. And she believes. It may only be a small faith, yet it's a profound faith that leads her into a closer walk with God. Can you say with all honesty this morning that you have a faith that trusts in Jesus, that takes you through this life, day by day, in every circumstance and situation you may find yourself in? Have you a faith to trust him that whatever might happen to you, you know that you are safe and secure in his hand? Because Jesus said, when you're in my hand, there is nothing that can ever, ever take you out of my hand. And we can rely upon him because he is the truth. Some people say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You may say a lovely pudding or a lovely cooked dish, whatever it might be. It looks lovely. But until you taste it, you can't really prove it. Or taste and see that the Lord is good, says Scripture. Come, try him. Turn your hearts and lives to him. Allow him to come into your life and to live and to rule your life. Lazarus is dead. 4 days in the grave. No one can change that situation, says the world. But Jesus can, and he does. As I said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. There's a story told, isn't it? I'm sure you've heard it many times. Blondin, the tightrope walker, crosses the Gnagaragra Falls, holding one of these balances, you know. And then he says to the crowd, do you think I can do it with a wheelbarrow? Yes, they said. So he wheels the wheelbarrow across. And he says, Well, do you think I can put a person in the wheelbarrow and wheel them across? Yes, he says. Who's the first one to try it? They all step back. Why? They had thought, they had faith, but they didn't have faith to trust. Jesus says, my faith, your faith in me is a real faith that is a true, because who I am, because I am the resurrection and the life. What is your faith like this morning? Are you trusting Jesus? Can you even think of eternal matters now? What happens? Jesus says, take me to where the tomb is. They take him. And he says, take away the stone. And here comes Martha, the old Martha. She says, Lord, by now the time, there's a stench. She's been there for 4 days. And now our Lord gently but firmly tells her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You see, what we must realize that this is Jesus, yes, the Son of God, but God veiled in human flesh, the second person of the Trinity. God veiled in human flesh. He doesn't scold her. He just gently reminds her of who he is. And we know the rest. He says, Father, I'm speaking to you because I want these people to realize and know who you are and who I am and that you have sent me. And those tremendous words of Lazarus, come forth. And he was dead. Physically dead. Wasn't in the tomb for any other reason but that he was dead. And he comes out alive. Loose him and let him go. You know, that's what God says about us. We are strangled hold by Satan. We are in his grip. We are under his control, under his leading and guiding. Loose him. Let him go. I ask you this morning, have you been loosed from the power of Satan? Have you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then praise him. Thank him. Because of who he is and what he is. The living God. The word of God tells us that we must believe. Because if we don't, then we have to face the alternative. And the alternative is an eternity without God in hell. Although the Pope says there is no hell, there is a hell. Because it's a place where Jesus isn't, in a sense. Heaven is where Jesus is. And we all want to be in heaven. If I went out and took a survey of the people around in this area and asked, would you want to go to heaven? I'd probably find that possibly 90%, if not more, will say, yes, I want to go to heaven. But the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Martha, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that you this morning? Have you come to that situation? Are you willing to trust him, to believe in him, to follow him, and to allow him to live and reign in your life? That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. That we would trust him, that we believe him, that we would follow him all the days of our life. Martha, well, she's just a name, isn't it? Perhaps we gloss over it, don't we? We just read it and we read it and we think nothing more of it. But boy, a change that came into her life. And that change was wrought by Jesus Christ and by him alone. Has he changed your life? Have you come to know him as your Lord and Saviour? Well, may God help us to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you brought this woman, Martha, to realize that she had to put her faith and trust in you. And then she said, I believe. Lord, will you come into our hearts and our lives that we might say too with Martha, I believe. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to come to know you, to love you as our Lord and Saviour. For Jesus' sake, not for ours, but for his sake. Amen.